Thank you for your word in these moments, Lord. May your word do what you send it to do. May you speak into our lives. May you touch our lives in such a way, Lord, that we are never the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's Palm Sunday. But today is not going to be a regular Palm Sunday sermon. Usually it's about the hosannas and the blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord in palm branches. Not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to take you 48 hours later than that moment. Because here's the thing about Palm Sunday. We kind of get caught up in the moment. But we forget what I taught you last week. When Jesus said to his disciples, go to Jerusalem. And when I get there, they're going to arrest me. They're going to torture me. They're going to nail me to a cross and I'm going to die. Palm Sunday is the beginning of the end. But it's also the beginning of the beginning. Because if that moment wasn't there, the third day would not have happened. So in between, there's this huge moment. As I said, 48 hours after that moment. And that's where I'm going to take you this morning. So bear with me. Have you ever driven in this huge thick fog? We had a little bit of that a week or so ago. But the thick ones where it's soupy. You just can't see. You can try the lights and you can put the low beams on, but maybe three paces you can see. It's really difficult. It's really scary. And it can be really disorienting. If you're not in a car and you're walking and that kind of stuff, you don't know where's north, east, south, west. That's what the fog can do. Now, there's a different kind of fog. This fog can blur your vision. It can make tomorrow feel like it's a million years away. And even kind words and words of help can sometimes feel really empty. I'm talking about the fog of the pain of a broken heart. If you've ever been betrayed by a friend or a loved one, someone close to you, if you've ever been abandoned, been alone in your loneliness, no one around, and when I say that, I think of my mother. My mama has nothing. She was an only child. I'm an only child. My dad's gone. All his siblings are gone, and mama's all alone. So when I say that word loneliness, I think of that. If you've ever had to stand at the open grave of a loved one. If you've ever sitting in a church and waiting for a call to come because someone that was like a mother to you is right now on the verge of saying goodbye to this world, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I speak of the fog of the pain of a broken heart. It has siblings that it brings along. This fog can easily bring along its friends called depression. Just being full of doubt, discouraged. They all come along, and before you know it, your life just feels like it's too much and you're overwhelmed. So against this little backdrop, I want to take you to the foggiest night in the history of the world. To a garden called the oil press. We call it Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a Hebrew word, Gat Shemanim. Gat means press and Shemanim means oil. Ted, put that slide on. I want to show you, no, different one, the other one. Yes, there we go. There we go. There's an olive press. There's a thing that makes Shemanim. You can see it. It's got this huge stone. And then they put the olives in there, and that wood thing is pulled either by a donkey or by slaves. It goes around and round. And those olives are lying in there, and as this thing goes, it crushes them. Get all of the oil out until there's nothing left but just the skin and the old broken fruit on the inside. Thanks, Dad, you can take it down. I'm going to take you to a garden called the oil press. And in that garden, see the man lying there with his face in the ground, streaks of tears coming down his face. And if you look at his face, you see the horror and the anguish. If you look close enough, you'll see the blood dripping from his forehead. And you ask yourself the question, can this man who's being crushed in that moment like an olive crushed in an oil press until there's nothing left, can this man being crushed like this really be Jesus? Is this the same Jesus that 48 hours they were riding out in there in a donkey and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and he's going to sit on the throne of David, and here he's lying being crushed to pieces. And instead of a crowd, he has three sleeping disciples. Can this be the same Jesus? That's where we get Palm Sunday so wrong. Because it's the beginning of the end. That was the moment that opened the door for him to have to go into that garden. And I thank God for that moment, because that moment is also a pivotal moment in which we need to make a choice. Are we looking for a king on a donkey? Or are we standing before a king on a cross who will take my sins away? And in that moment, we stand before life like we know it. It's not donkeys and palm branches and hosannas. It's often going into the oil press. And now you can put on that second picture, Ted, that you had on first. Because sometimes it gets me when I think of these moments, and you look at the pictures that the artist will paint for us, and look at that, the old masters, they paint. Look at the light coming down, and look at him so serene. And he even has a halo. I went and looked up, where does this silly thing of halos come from? Because it's not in the Bible. It comes from 300 BC from the Persians. They had this god called Mahindra, if I'm not mistaken. And this god was surrounded by this light. And it slowly became adopted into us. Please, guys, we're never going to wear halos. Jesus never had a halo. If you have a headache, it's because you're wearing a halo and it's too tight. Get it off. Jesus never had a halo. But this is the image. Sorry, I'm showing the wrong way because I can see it there. This is the image that so often we see of Jesus in the garden. It's so serene. It's so beautiful. It's so calm. Read the Bible with me, Ted. Let's go on there. I'm reading to you from a beautiful translation called the Passion Translation. I love it. Then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. There you've got it. Gethsemane. He told them, sit here while I pray a while. He took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. And yes, I see the frowns on your faces. Who's this Jacob guy? Usually we'll read he took Peter, James, and John with him. There is no James in the Bible. And you're thinking, has he lost his mind? I'll explain. There is no James. Every time in the New Testament when you read James, it's actually the word Jacob. The book of James is actually the book of Jacob. This James is Jacob. I'll tell you why. There was a king called King James. He told them to translate the Bible. But he said, here's one prerequisite. My name has to be in the Bible. And they changed the Jacobs to Jameses. Just by the way. You can go read that. I'm not telling you a story. So now let me take you back. He took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. An intense feeling of great horror plunged his soul into deep sorrow. And he said to them, "My heart is overwhelmed with anguish and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me." He walked a short distance away, and being overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, he would not have to experience this hour of suffering. He prayed, "Abba, my Father, all things are possible for you. Please remove this cup of suffering. Yet, what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me." Then he came back to his three disciples and found them all sound asleep. He awakened Peter and said to him, "Simon, are you asleep? Do you lack the strength to stay awake with me for even just an hour? Keep alert and pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. For your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is feeble." I love that. Your spirit is good and strong enough and eager, but your humanity is feeble. Thank you for knowing that, Lord. For often my humanity is so feeble. Then he left them a second time and went to pray the same thing. Afterward, he came back to the disciples and found them sound asleep, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say to him. After praying the third time, he returned to his disciples and awoke them again, saying, "Do you plan on sleeping and resting indefinitely? That's enough sleep. The end has come, and the hour has arrived for the Son of Man to be handed over to the authority of sinful men. Get up, let's go. Don't you see? My betrayer draws near." A little different from these serene little pictures that I showed you a moment ago. An intense feeling of great horror plunged his soul into deep sorrow. The fog of the pain of a broken heart. "My heart is overwhelmed with anguish and crushed with grief." And being overcome with grief, he threw himself on the ground. Here we see Jesus in his agony. We see that man of sorrows that we sing about. We see a man struggling with fear, wrestling with the commitments that are too much for him and are going to overwhelm him, praying just for a little relief. Thank God for that. Because in that moment, it brings the reality back of what really happened when he came into Jerusalem. It shows us the life that we will live and that we live in this world, not a life in which we're riding on a donkey and we're hearing hosannas the whole time, but a life in which we often end up in an oil press. Someone came into this church this morning saying, "I'm a little overwhelmed because of stuff that's in our family, people who are hurting and going through tough times." And as I said, Elizabeth came to me and said, "If I walk out, don't worry, it's because my aunt has passed away." This is the life in which we live. That moment in which Jesus is there, we often end up in that fog. When we see Jesus in fear, when we see our Jesus in pain, when we see Jesus broken, saying, "Father, I don't know if I can handle this," we see his humanity and his frailty. And I have hope for the moments when that oil press starts pressing down. When I read this, for me, it's a picture of hope. Let me tell you why. The next time this fog comes and it just wants to overwhelm you, just look at Jesus and see him in the garden. The next time you get to that moment where you feel that no one understands me and I don't think I understand my life and it's just so upside down, go take Mark 14 and go read the story again. Because did you see him in the end? He was this man who was full of sorrow, fear, talked to his father. And after he had spoken to his father, did you see the end? Come on, get up. No more sleeping. Let's go. The hour has come. They're coming for me. There's a different Jesus. Because in the oil press, Jesus did not try and run away. Jesus did not try and cover up. Jesus said it. Father, I'm scared to death. Father, I don't think I can handle this. And in the moment I can do that, my Father shows up. Because yes, I'm eager, but my humanity is so frail. When I can do this in my Father. So next time, when the fog comes over you and feels like, but no one cares and no one is there, go find Jesus in the garden. Next time you feel that I don't even know if God understands what I'm going through, be quiet and hear him pray in the garden. As he prays for you, for your sin. When I look at Jesus like this, it gives me a little bit of hope for when I go through my own struggles and my own pain. Because never has God been so close to us as in that human moment when he is so broken. In that garden. And maybe when I walk into the fog, maybe it's a gift. Because right there in the fog is where I'll meet him face to face. Because that's where he is. He showed me that. So next time the fog comes, and it tries to overwhelm you, look closely and you'll see a hand, a nail-scarred hand that reaches out and walks with you. And then maybe we can say what our Palm Sunday front says today. They went before him and they followed crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. When you're in the fog, say the words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For I see him face to face. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. When we come to the garden, Lord, and we're all alone. And sometimes our garden is also a garden with an oil press. Thank you that you walk with us. And you talk with us and you tell us that we are your own. And the joy that we share is together we just walk there. Lord, that is the moment that we live for. Thank you for going into that garden filled with horror, broken in the midst of the fog, but not running away. So that we, Lord, know that we're okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you that we may shout, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For it doesn't end with a garden or a cross or a tomb. That which began on Palm Sunday would be a third day. And we are people of the third day. And we love you, Lord. Amen.